Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock. It's a Saturday, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. I have done close to 250 interviews on this channel since I started it a couple of years ago, and I am super excited for the interview that you're going to have today. This is one of the person you're going to be hearing from today is one of the youngest people that I have ever interviewed. He is 14 years old, and at the age of 14, he has released a product that many people are saying was the trick of the Blackpool Magic Convention 2024. He is super talented. He is incredibly innovative. He literally creates magic every single day. He's got an army of releases ready to come out. And he is a super nice guy. I can't wait to talk to him and find out more about his creative process. I am, of course, talking about the star of Blackpool 2024, the new face of Alakazam Magic, Move Over Harry Nardi. There's a new person in town, and that person is Henry Ferris. How are you doing, Henry?
Good, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited to have you on the channel. Thank you so much for jumping on here. I really appreciate it.
Of course, dude, of course.
And I want to delve right into this. Your name is everywhere at the moment because as of filming, we're filming this on a Saturday morning. Thursday, Evaporate officially got launched by Alakazam. I've spoken to Pete. Apparently, it's like done incredibly well. Everybody is wanting to pick it up. You've got other magic companies that are wanting to actually carry this as well. It sold out like within seconds at the Blackpool Magic Convention. A lot of people were saying it was tricky convention. Dude, your name's everywhere. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, dude. Because these are just like my stupid ideas. So the fact that it's gotten a bit of praise is just, it's sort of unreal, you know?
I get that. I totally get that. And it can be a kind of a pinch yourself moment sometimes. But it just shows that, you know, when you have creative bones like you do, age is just a number, you know, it really makes no difference because honestly, the stuff and I'm lucky enough to have known you for a while now. And so I've seen some of the other material that you've got that people haven't even known you for. And when people realize the other stuff that you're doing, as good as Evaporate is, you've got other gimmicks and other ideas and other tricks that are even better than Evaporate. I mean, I can't wait for people to see some of the other stuff that you developed over the years.
Oh my God, thank you so much, dude. Like I said, these are just my idiotic ideas. Like, I just make them and hope for the best, you know? They're just sort of fun things to play with. And then when I sort of show them about, you know, when if people actually like them, that's sort of like a motivation to sort of improve it and like keep going at it. So like Evaporate, that was literally a stupid idea that I made when I was 9 and people liked it. So I've just been nonstop working at it for years now to just make it as perfect as it is. So yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, I want to talk about your creative process. I want to talk about everything. But first of all, as we do on Talk Magic, I want to find out more about you and your journey into magic. You're only 14, but you just told me that you created Evaporate at the age of 9, which just drives me up the wall and makes me very annoyed, to be honest, but we'll let it go. When did you get into magic? How did that journey start? How old were you and what was the catalyst?
So I was, I don't know, I think it was about 5 or 6. And I mean, I wasn't super happy to find out how I got into magic because I have the memory of a goldfish. So I couldn't really remember. What I remember is my mum showed me a magic trick. And she sort of, I mean, I think she sort of wanted me to be a magician, which, I mean, I'm thankful now. But yeah, I mean, it came as a shock to me because she just went on YouTube and learned magic tricks. Because why not? She learned the classic French drop, which fooled me because I was about 6. And then she just kept learning stuff because she wanted to sort of give me that feeling of wonder, which, yeah, it shocked me and it was awesome. And then I sort of...
Just very quickly, can I just say, talk about an awesome mum. She went on YouTube and taught herself how to do magic tricks to give you a sense of wonder and so that she could teach you how to do magic as well. My mom and dad used to tell me on a daily basis that I was wasting my life and to get a proper job. And there's your mom teaching you how to do magic by learning it on YouTube. That's amazing. Like, that's so cool.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I just sort of, I'm a parent, everything, because none of this would have been possible without them. And yeah, I mean, it's just a fun way to sort of get into magic, because everyone sort of has like the Marvin's magic kits, which sort of like inspires everything. But yeah, like granddad shows you a magic trick, but no, this is me and mum. She just thought, why not? I'll teach him a magic trick.
That's
and brilliant. Me, six, just thought, oh, I need to learn that. And then I learned more, and then I learned more, and then I learned more. And I'm still learning, you know, I just keep going.
So you started learning magic at the age of six, your mom taught you. And did the bug bite straight away? Did you kind of realize, okay, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I'm, you know, because a lot of people, they get a magic set when they're a kid and they kind of look at it and go, yeah, that's cool. And then they just put it to one side and forget about it. Like, did you immediately kind of go, okay, this is something that I want to spend more time doing?
So me being the person that I am, you know how you get them sort of books inside the magic sets that say 101 tricks with like a thumb tip?
Mm-hmm.
I'm that kid that reads every trick, you know. So I mean, I sort of went a bit theory heavy at a stupidly young age, so I just went read and read and read and read and read. And I mean, I'm thankful that I've done it, because now I'm stupidly lazy and don't read as much as I used to, but I have the knowledge now, and it's really helpful, you know. So I've just got a magic set, and then I got another one and another one. And we used to travel quite often. So we used to go to London quite a lot. So we used to go up to the street performers doing magic. And I think that combined with the magic sets are just sort of like a bit of inspiration, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very, very cool. So you started doing magic at the age of six. And when did you, like, there's two types of, I know you're only 14, but I always think that there's like lots of different ways that you can go in magic. Like, when I first got into magic, I knew I wanted to perform. I was a performer. I wanted to go out on stage. The creativity happened very, very later on. For me, it was all about performing. You look at somebody like Lloyd Barnes, my friend Lloyd Barnes, for example. He couldn't care less about performing. For him, magic is all about creating and sharing those creations. Where do you fall in that? Like, are you like more of a performer? Are you, I know that you're a creator. Like, where do you fall in that?
I mean, I think me and Lloyd are quite similar, because I'm a creator, Lloyd's a creator. I'm a very, very shy person, so I don't perform as much as I would ideally want to, but I've been sort of, with like the help of the Young Magicians Club and everything, it's an opportunity to perform more. So yeah, I'm more of like a creator person, but the more sort of like positivity, like with Evaporate and everything, it's sort of, you know, inspiring you to perform more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's all sort of building up a bit of courage, you know, to actually get out there and perform.
Okay, well, before we go on, you mentioned that you're kind of a shy person by nature, and yet you've built up this incredible name for yourself. And, you know, I know you say you prefer creating to performing, but let's not put too fine a point on it. At the Blackpool Magic Convention, you were demming on the Alakazam stand. There's nothing, for anybody that's watching this that has never done that before, there's nothing more nerve-wracking than demming on a stand, especially when it's your own creation, because, you know, you've got magicians are the worst audience at the best of times anyway. You've got magicians coming up, and not only have you got to perform, you've got to perform to a level where they want to hand over their money to buy this product, and you nailed it, Henry, because your product sold out before any other Alakazam trick that was on that booth that year. So, like, how did you manage to put yourself into that position? You say that you're shy, but those are not the actions of somebody who's shy or, you know, struggles to perform.
Well, I had the amazing help from, as you know, Matt Cluley.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing person. He sort of helped with confidence coaching, you know, because usually I wouldn't do that sort of thing, but I did, and I went on the stand, I sort of limited myself to 1 to 2 panic attacks a day. And then, yeah, it sort of reduced in panic attacks by Sunday. And it was actually a really fun experience. So yeah, it turned out to be much, much better than I could ever thought it would be.
That's brilliant. So for anybody watching this that's shy as well, what advice would you give them to push themselves out of their comfort zone and go and do something that they wouldn't typically normally do?
I mean, just do it. You know, if it's done, it's done. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. That's the whole point. You know, you've got to fail to get better. You're not just going to immediately become amazing. You need to actually work on what you're going to do. You need to actually figure out how it's going to be done. And you need to tell yourself that it's going to go well. If you don't have that mindset, it's not going to go as well as it could have gone. But if you remain positive and you don't worry and you sort of block out the negative feelings, it actually turns into a really good experience.
That's great advice. Really, really good advice. So you mentioned the Young Magicians Club. Obviously, I know that you're a member. And a lot of people ask me about the Young Magicians Club. So did you join at the age of 10? Did you join...
I'm not sure. I think I joined during lockdown. I can't remember how old I was in lockdown. I've decided to blank that sort of bit out of my brain, as most people have, to be honest. So I joined during lockdown when it was the Zoom meetings. So we never actually got the full opportunity to perform. So I only ever started performing once lockdown was over. Because, I mean, it was just Zoom competitions, which were okay, but they weren't great.
Mm.
Now I think the new co-chairs, Harry and Ed Hilsom, Harry De Cruz, are actually really nice guys. And I think with the help of them and the actual Magic Circle as a place, it's a really nice sort of atmosphere. So you feel there's no judging or anything. You feel sort of really accepted for whatever actually goes on. So it's a really, really good space.
That's amazing. And for any young magicians, would you advise them to join?
I genuinely would. I mean, I would say if you actually have a bit of skill in magic and you like, you can do a double lift or anything, this is the place for you. I mean, it's amazing. We have some amazing lecturers. I know you've lectured there before, and it's always just an amazing day. So there's one, I think, every month on a Saturday or Sunday at the actual Magic Circle HQ. And it's genuinely amazing. So if you do like magic and you want to sort of get more into it, join. It's amazing. It's a really nice place.
That's brilliant. And to be clear, I mean, you travel a long way to get to the Young Magic, to the YMC, don't you? You like you live in Nottingham. You must be leaving at the crack of dawn to get there on a weekend.
Yeah, so we live about 2 hours away, so we have to go by train, which is, it's a bit of a nightmare. So I have to wake up at about 8 o'clock. Well, no, 7:30, which, oof, as a teenager. But I mean, I've got to set multiple alarms because I always sleep through the first one, which is quite annoying when you've got to catch a train. But just like, it proves that if I'm like going the effort to get there, it's going to be good, you know, because I wouldn't be going there if it was just like a bit of like a cheesy thing to do. Mm-hmm. No, it's really a really amazing thing to do. And if you like it, join. It's amazing.
Perfect. Perfect. So when did you realize that you had this ability to create? You know, because you say you got into magic at the age of 6, you joined the YMCA a few years, you joined the YMC a few years later. But, you know, you talked about how you created the first trick at the age of 9, like, which is evaporate. When did you kind of realize that you were kind of gravitating towards the creating side of magic? How did that come about? Because that's not a path that a lot of people go down. Most people that get into magic, they're like, oh my God, magic, I'm learning as much as I can. I want to go and perform as much as I can. While you went in a completely different direction. And there's a lot of people that want to be creators as well. So I'd love to hear that from you, you know, your story when it comes to that side of things.
I think for me, I sort of like aspired to learn, not perform. I wanted to perform when I was like had the actual skill set to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started creating just random ideas. So I started with like a flat card, a double backer, or like the quite simple stuff. And with me sort of learning new methods, new concepts, I read so many books then. and all of these just sort of give you the inspiration to create. And I didn't want to start performing until I had the ability to actually do it well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. So let's talk about the creative process. Was Evaporate the first trick you created at the age of 9? Had you created anything before that, or was Evaporate the first thing?
I think Evaporate was, I think it was one of the first things, because it started really, really simple. So it started genuinely, if I'm being more honest, with a stupidly overcomplicated gimmick that was actually so much more complicated than the actual one that you're going to get, because the one that you're going to get is simplified and it's actually just perfect. Whereas the one that I made, I don't even know what went on in my brain. I added random bits that weren't needed. So, I mean, I just sort of took every concept I knew and threw it all in, you know? But now as I've aged, I've managed to get it down, you know? So I think Evaporate was one of the first things. I'm not for sure if it was the first one, but I think it was like the sort of first actually good idea.
Okay. And let's talk about the creative process as to how you actually got to that point. What made you come up with Evaporate? Was it that you were playing around with gimmick cards and it popped into your head, or did you seek out, did you sit down to go, right, I'm going to create the best version of the Vanishing Deck that I can? Like, where did the inspiration come from?
I mean, if I remember this correctly, it was a complete accident. I mean, I was just fiddling around, and then I thought, oh, I can do this, and I created one aspect of it. I then thought, oh, that looks like a deck of cards, I'll use that. I then sort of took concepts and random little ideas that I started off, because I didn't know who like Paul Harris was or any of them amazing people out there. I started off with the Paul Harris Vanishing Deck Illusion, me thinking, oh, I've created that. I hadn't, obviously. That's the legend of Paul Harris. It's amazing. Obviously, any Vanishing Deck's awesome from his amazing idea. So it all sort of came from the Paul Harris Vanishing Deck Illusion without me actually realising it was the Paul Harris Vanishing Deck Illusion. Which then just sort of, yeah, it spiralled into another idiotic idea and another one and another one, which I then completely forgot about Evaporate until I think it was the very first session I went to.
I remember you showing me Evaporate, and then I dragged you over to show it to Lloyd Barnes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I was saying. I wanted to show you something. Well, I didn't. My mum forced me to, because she told me, get more confidence. So I went and showed it to you because you are one of my favourite magicians, and it was like a huge step to actually do. And then you forced me to go show it to Lloyd, and Lloyd's also one of my favourite magicians because Lloyd's a complete genius, you know, and because he's an amazing card gamer and card gaffer. When I showed it to him, when he just went, that's just sort of gave me the inspiration to keep working at it. Because the old ones, Lloyd actually owns one of the very old copies, and it's held together by just literal strands of thread, or thread tape, and it's pathetically bad. But I then took that, and every year I've improved it and improved it and improved it till it is what it is now. So yeah, I completely forgot about it, really. And then when it was at the session, you and Lloyd Watt gave me the inspiration to actually keep working at it.
That's amazing. And how do you know, when you're working on a trick and you're trying to create a trick, how do you know that that trick is ready? Like, you showed it to me and Lloyd, and we were blown away. I remember seeing it and thinking, this is amazing. How do you then go, I'm going to improve this even more? And when do you know that it's like, right, okay, this is finished. This is the best version of this that I can ever come up with?
I think it's usually when I get bored of just tampering with it and everything. So I think with Evaporate, it came to the sort of extent where I'd sort of messed with it enough and I wanted to start something new, because it's an amazing product and it's fantastic. It's, in my opinion, one of the best Vanishing Decks ever. I'm a bit biased, though. Yeah. But
I agree. Yeah. I think it's amazing. It's great.
Thank you so much, dude. Thank you. But yeah, so it usually happens when I think it's done is when I get stupidly bored and I start working on something else. And then I just sort of see, is there any negatives with it? What needs to be improved? What needs to be changed? And if it's good, and if it's actually like workable, I'll send it off to someone. And yeah, that's how it sort of all stemmed from. So I actually just started making them, hand making them myself and selling them just literally through me as my own sort of miniature company, which I didn't sell any. Well, I think I sold one or two, but they were to my mates. And then I gave one to you and one to Craig. And I think I gave one to Ryland. I sort of gave up on it and I just started to give them away. And then I thought, it's good enough to get released. Mm. So, yeah. You sort of hooked me up with Peter Nardi and at the Alakazam company. And yeah, it's sort of all with the help of you and Lloyd actually got this released.
Well, I was going to bring up the fact is you're 14 and you've had a trick come out now, a very, very successful trick with a huge company. Alakazam is a huge company. And a little birdie said to me we might be seeing it in Illusionist shelves as well or something down the line, possibly, maybe. I mean, it's blown up, man.
Yeah, I mean...
Go on, Tony.
I sort of never pictured it to go into any other companies, but I've seen there's already one or two shops online that have it now. And it's like, I think Magic Dreams got it. And it's just sort of like, you just sort of feel like it's just going to get released through one company. Mm. And then when you see it somewhere else, basically me being me, I thought it was a fake immediately. So I just like got my phone message, Pete getting all panicked. It wasn't, that was a genuine company. But they were actually selling it. And the fact that it's being sold all around the world, it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I it's very, very cool. It's very, 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 very cool. So what advice would you give somebody? You know, you're 14 if you released a trick with Alakazam. This is huge. What advice would you give somebody who wants to release a trick? They've got a trick that they're happy with. It's a good trick. They think it's good. What advice would you give somebody to get it out through a production company? Because that's the question I get asked over and over again. I've got my thoughts on this, but, you know, as somebody who's done it at such a young age, probably one of the youngest people to ever release a trick through a major company, what advice would you give somebody who's watching this that wants to replicate that?
I think, find someone that's better than you. Hang around with people that are better than you. Like, when I first met you, it was meeting you and Lloyd that inspired me to keep going. And the fact of seeing your determination got me to sort of want to get this released. So if you want to get something released, find a really good magician. They don't have to know many magic companies, but get more people's sort of help. Don't just try and work on it all by yourself. I think if you sort of create an idea and you just keep it all to yourself, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But when you get more people's opinions on it and you find out what can be improved, what would work better, it's sort of, yeah. And then if they're any sort of good at magic and they know companies, they might help you. Like with you, Craig, I met you, you said, oh, you could do this, you could do that. And I've changed little bits of it over time that suit it to be as perfect as possible for a performer. And then once you sort of said, oh my God, that's amazing, you need to get that released, that was sort of the inspiration to get a release. So I just started DMing random magic companies like Penguin, like Vanishing Ink. And then I found Alakazam. And it was actually at Blackpool 2023. So I just walked up to the Alakazam stand. Well, I mean, there's a bit of like a sort of motif here. My mum pushed me to the Alakazam stand and said, show them this, try and get it released. And it was the first company that I wanted to get, first company that I wanted to release through. So I walked up to the Alakazam stand, showed it to Harry. Harry forced me to show it to Pete. I showed it to Pete. Pete was like, and then we literally just got everything all sorted in the first 2 days of Blackpool. So yeah, have the confidence to do it. Don't just like shy away. Chuck yourself in at the deep end. What's the worst that can happen?
That's really good advice. Really, really, really good advice. And you know, you said that you're not a you create more than you perform. I'd love to know your answer to this one, because this is kind of really interesting to me. So for me as a creator, when I create, one of my big things that I do is I go and work it. You know, I'll probably spend 6 months working it in gigs over and over again to try and figure out where it can be improved from a point of view of getting the reactions and the feedback from an audience. As somebody who doesn't perform as much and creates more, a bit like Lloyd, what process do you go through to refine it? Do you still perform it, or do you get other people to perform it and get their feedback? Like, what is it that you do with that regard to that side of things?
That's a tricky question. I think I have quite a few like magician mates that are my age. I think I actually gave them a few to sort of road test, and me performing it a bit. So I just went and did a bit of table hopping a few times. I've done a few weddings, and literally whenever I get the opportunity to perform, now I do perform, which is now the opportunity to show my ideas off. And I sort of do like a reaction test. If it gets like, oh, good reactions, it's good. And like when I was at Blackpool and the Ruskins, I was just showing it to magicians, and I just sort of, with Evaporate, if anyone wanted it, I just sort of let them try it to see if they liked it or not. And I sort of judged it off magicians' reactions, you know? So, yeah.
Wow. Okay, perfect. That's amazing. So Evaporate is now officially out. The reviews are coming in and everybody is loving it. It's a very stressful time when your trick first goes out and it's like, okay, what's the feedback going to be like about it? What are people going to say? It's always a really stressful thing. But as far as I can see, everybody absolutely loves it. It's very, very practical, which is good. So my question is, what's next? You're 14 years old. You've released your first product. Everybody's talking about you. Where are you going to go from here? What are your goals? What bucket list items do you have in the magic community? You know, when you get to the point that you can leave school, are you wanting to go into education? Are you wanting to be a full-time magician? Are you wanting to be a full-time creator? Or is this just going to be a side gig and you've got something else that you want to do? What goals do you have in magic in terms of bringing out? Where can we see Henry Ferris going from here?
It's really like another really tricky question. But I mean, I don't really want to be a full-time magician. I want to keep doing it because it's a passion, you know. Yeah. Passion, like for me, I'm a drummer as well. These are passions that I love because I'm a musician as well. I think I like to key in music and magic together. So I found that as being a drummer, it sort of helps for magic because you're able to realize the impulses, where everything will go when you begin to realize about timings and time signatures and everything. Sort of all hinders together to make it really sort of better performing. And I think that when I'm sort of, first I need to do my GCSEs, that's a big one. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be a full-time magician. It would be amazing to be a full-time magician, but I think it would just get a bit tricky for me because of my confidence, you know. It was like me and it wouldn't go together. I'll perform as much as I can, but I don't want to sort of keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it every day. It's quite like sort of have like a bit of a normal job, you know. So hopefully I'll probably be in the music background, as I can't really step back from that by now. But I think, yeah, for magic, I just want to keep going. I don't want to stop doing it. It's a passion and it's something that I love doing. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And in terms of creating new releases, I alluded to this at the beginning of the interview. I know that you've got a metric ton of material. Like you told me off camera, you force yourself to create a brand new trick every week, right?
Yeah, yeah. So my goal every week is to create a concept and work on that concept. And I spend 1 week focusing on a specific sort of either move or a specific method. So yeah, I mean, I did 1 week just focusing on a flat card and weird possibilities that you wouldn't expect to do with that you wouldn't expect to do with a flat card.
Mm-hmm.
And then like obviously double backer stuff, evaporate stuff, and I found that it doesn't have to be just a vanishing deck, it's a utility. And just I spend as much time as I can working on weird and bizarre things with everyday objects that you wouldn't expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah, I think one thing a week, whether it's a gimmick, a concept, a move, or just an idea in general, that's my goal.
That's a very, very, very good goal. So what do you have any plans to release other effects? Are there other things that you've worked on that you kind of have, that you kind of think, right, okay, this is ready? You know, we talked about that process of making sure everything's ready. Have you got something else that you kind of think, right, this is ready?
Well,
and if you have, is what are you planning on doing with those in the future?
I've got loads and loads. I've got just like a massive pile of stuff that I want to get released literally all over my floor. So I focused on one magic plot. And I think one of my favourite plots in Magic is the Torn and Restored card, or just Torn and Restored object. Because I think there's so many possibilities. Instead of doing an instant one, slow motion one, a weird one, you can do just so many possibilities. So I've got two methods for the Torn and Restored card that haven't ever been done before. I'm trying to get released. I'm not going to say so much about them yet because they're not out or anything. But I just, yeah, I've got a lot of sort of TNR based stuff that I've been working for a long, long time that I think is now fully ready to get released.
And so are we going to see you, you know, like some artists in the Magic community, and I've seen, before I ask that question, let me back up slightly. I've seen a lot of the stuff that you've created that is yet to come out, and it's absolutely exceptional. Just exceptional.
Thank you so much.
Very different to anything. And even better than Evaporate. As good as Evaporate is, you've got other things that are even better than Evaporate. So with that in mind, there's some creators in Magic where they literally just stick with one company and they'll just create through that one company and that's it. Other people like me will jump around and literally one day you'll see Murphy's, then you'll see Penguin, then you'll see, Alakazam, so on and so forth. As somebody who has got a lot of material to bring out, are you planning on hopefully down the line working with other companies?
I think, yeah, that's the aim. Alakazam's an amazing company and I hope to work with them more. Because I think Alakazam are one of my favourite Magic companies ever. It's a family-run shop. It doesn't get much better than that, you know. They are genuinely some of the nicest people in the world. And, I mean, I'd love to sort of expand and sort of get other ideas out there through different companies, through Alakazam again, and just sort of... I think Evaporate was sort of my thing to try and get my name out there a bit more. Because of like my lack of confidence, I wanted a company that I can actually trust and a company that I like feel comfortable around. To get something that is amazing, in my opinion, actually into the real world.
Yeah, definitely. But you might go with other companies as well down the line.
Down the line, I hope to expand to different companies, such as Penguin, Vanishing Ink, Murphy's, just to name a few. It's just nice to sort of expand, you know?
Absolutely. And each company has a different kind of feel to them and a different type of... effect that kind of suits them. So I can see exactly where you're coming from. Very quickly, let's just circle back to what you talked about with regards to drumming. You know, I see that a lot of magicians are musicians as well. That's something that I've seen as a parallel with many performers and creators. I mean, you mentioned Matt Cluley, obviously, as you know, he's been a musician his entire life, as well as doing magic. Do you think performing, you know, having a music background, in your case, a drummer, helps when it comes to magic? Is that something that kind of, there's a synergy there?
I think absolutely, because music teaches the brain to learn something else. It teaches the brain to have, like, a focus. So for drumming, it teaches you to sort of multitask. For piano, it teaches your fingers to move in weird ways that you shouldn't do. And it just overall... sort of with timing and everything all together, you begin to learn the actual, it's like a feeling that you, not a regular magician will be able to understand. Because as a musician, you're able to sense the pauses, you're able to sense the times to do the misdirection. I am to keep my magic with sort of a tempo. So I know when everything's going to be, I know when it's not going to be, where they're going to look, where they're not going to look. And I think music sort of really helps the psychology behind magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think being a musician, as well as that being sort of a fun little thing to do, it genuinely is a really helpful thing to do.
That's amazing. That's great. Let me ask you a question. How do you find time to do everything? Because you're doing your GCSEs, you're performing as much as you can, you go to the Young Magicians Club, you're creating magic all of the time. And when you talk about, hey, I'm going to spend a week working on this, it's not like you just pay lip service and you just like spend 5 minutes a day. I know that you delve deep into that. But obviously, as a musician, you're probably going to have to be spending hours practicing, drumming and whatever else that you're doing on top of everything else that you do. Like you mentioned earlier on being a teenager, most teenagers that I know just spend all day in bed and don't really get up to that much. Like, you know, you're overachieving and then some. I mean, people say I do a lot. They haven't met you, Henry. Like, how do you get everything done that you need to do? Because damn.
I mean, I'd like to say I sort of have a timetable. I don't. I make everything I do up as I go along. So I get home from school, I play the drums for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then I literally spend all of my free time up in my room creating cool stuff. I then sort of would come down, have food, watch a movie, do whatever I feel like, sleep, all that sort of the regular stuff for me. And yeah, it just, whenever I get the opportunity, I do magic. So my desk currently right now is, because I just literally rush around to get this done, it's a complete, genuine mess. Like, if I show you this here.
Oh my God.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, that's just the whole desk. Everywhere you look, there's just random stuff that doesn't actually make sense.
But that's literally where the magic happens, right?
Exactly. So I like to find sort of the ideas out of the mess, you know? So I like having the sort of messy desk sort of, because it sort of, then when you get an idea, it just sort of feels like, oh, that's cool. I didn't ever think of that. And you sort of, I mean, I quite like the mess as sort of an abstract idea, because in magic, there's so many concepts that all join into a mess. So there's a double bag or a flat card, innocent sort of things that just all get sort of thrown over. And when you get sort of this sort of mindset that you take the stuff that's sort of there, and then you make them, it's great. It's not great having a messy desk though, because there's stupid amounts of needles all over the floor. It's painful, I'll say that.
But you know what they say about people that are creative, really creative people have messy, you know, work. My desk in my office is just a disaster zone. Everyone takes the mick out of it. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
My whole room, actually the only tidy bit is my drum kit. That's, I think that's what I get stupidly precious over. I have to like hoover everything in the drum area all day, because I've got to keep it looking fresh. But magic, Christ, it's just woof.
Wow. That's crazy.
There's just so many random stuff. Like, I've just got a massive pile of NFC tags or whatever they're called. Like, I don't even use them, but they're there.
Just in case, right?
Exactly. I've even got two random just roll-on deodorants for some strange reason. They're just, these just random ideas. I think that's a ring-in deodorant, but it's just a deodorant. It's just so much random stuff here. It's a huge box of Tic Tacs that I can't remember what I did with that, but there's something to do with that. So, like, almost everything is a trick, but I don't know what the trick is.
That's amazing. And I think you've just summed up your creative process there, which is just put a load of stuff in front of you and just, you know, play.
Yeah. I think that just summed up my life in about 10 words.
That's perfect. I got one more question for you. Because something that we've not mentioned that I know that you do, and I want to know where this came about. You're a ventriloquist as well. Like, I found this out from Ryland. Ryland said to me, just after a YMC meeting, and I was talking about Harry Piper, who is a vent. And I was like, oh, he's a really good vent, isn't he? And he was like, yeah, you know, Henry's a ventriloquist. And I'm like, Henry Ferris? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, is he? Are you sure? He's like, no, he's a ventriloquist. I'm like, Ryland, he's not a ventriloquist. And he's like, no, he is. Like, you vent as well?
Yeah. So I just think it's all really, really fun, you know. It's great. The event is just a really fun thing to do. Like the ability to change your voice from this to this is just deadly, deadly, deadly fun. But yeah, it's
Where
quite
did this come about from? How did you go? Where did you wake up one day and go, you know what? I want to learn how to be a ventriloquist. Like,
Oh, I think always from a young age, I've loved ventriloquism. I've loved puppets. So I spent literally years of my life trying to create a puppet. And I've just always loved the idea of, I think, like I said, one of my favorite magic things I actually own is an Axtel magic drawing board, because that combines ventriloquism and magic. Have you seen them before?
yeah, they're great. They're awesome.
They're just such a fun little prop. And the fact that you have the magic and the ventriloquism combined, because I think the two go perfectly together when done right. But when not done right, there can be just sort of an average sort of thing. But when you actually put the time down, you practice it to be as perfect as possible, and you have a puppet and you have a deck of cards, it's awesome.
Wow. Oh, wow. And how old were you when you started venting?
No, I think it was about, I was about 10 or 11. I started learning, and I think just before lockdown, I started learning. And then lockdown, I bought myself multiple puppets, which is great. So I now, somewhere inside this bedroom, have two custom puppets that are awesome. They're like my friends, you know.
That's amazing. That's just brilliant. That's fantastic. And when did you start? You've mentioned music and being a drummer quite a lot. When did that start? Like, was that around about the same time as magic and or before?
I've been doing drums for my whole entire life. Like, I think some of my first memories are playing the drums. So I got a drum kit for, I think, like my first or second birthday, and every year I've loved it. So I've got a very, very musical family. So my mum's a pianist, a violinist. There's my dad. He doesn't play any instruments, but he's learning guitar. So he's sort of joining the club. And then yeah, there's me, who's the weird one that plays a stupid amount of instruments. So I literally, drums has been, I think, the thing that I've kept with and I will always keep with. But I used to do trombone, literally all instruments, and it went really just, I just picked and choose for whatever I wanted to play. And was that a weird phase, you know? Every teenager goes through a phase. Mine was a really nerdy phase about music.
Wow. You're a very surprising person. You've got a lot of strings to your bow that people aren't aware of, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite good, because if people don't really know so much about you, when you actually just sort of, like, with Evaporate, no one ever really knew actually who I was in magic. And then when I showed them Evaporate and I finally got this thing released, when you actually get recognized for the effort that you put in, it's a really sort of nice feeling.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. And you must be riding really high at the moment. As I say, I mentioned it at the very beginning of the interview, I'll mention it again. The entire world's going crazy about Evaporate, man.
My God, yeah, I'm buzzing. I'm loving life. It's awesome. Oh, it's just such a great feeling. So like when it was the Evaporate Live launch, I was just loving life. And the breaks for when they were playing the trailer, I just strapped on a pair of headphones and started dancing, you know. I was like in my own little bubble. It's great.
That's fantastic. That's really, 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 really cool. Henry, I think you've got I can tell that you're a very driven young man. I can tell that you're very ambitious, you're very driven, you're very goal driven. I can tell that you've got things that you want to achieve and goals that you want to hit. And I think you've proven that at the age of 14 that you're going to be a force to be reckoned with, whether you become a full-time musician, whether you do something else, whether you continue creating magic until you're 80 years old, whatever you do, you've got that right mindset. I think you're just going to succeed because you've got that desire and that will to want to move on and that kind of never give up. I think the best way to describe it is you seem to have a very entrepreneurial spirit. So I think that you're going to succeed at anything that you do.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot, especially coming from you. You are literally one of the most, I think, if the most successful magician in the UK. It's just really, really nice to hear, you know.
Yeah, no, man, you're killing it. You're absolutely killing it. And I cannot wait to see what you've got coming up next, because I know it's going to be even bigger and even better. And I know you're going to continue to have lots of success. And Henry, I'm going to finish this whole thing off with one last question. And the final question is, for anybody watching this, that would, you know, maybe wants to be a creator or wants to get their name in lights like you have, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Question.
Right.
I think my advice would be just don't let anything stop you. You know, I've got quite a lot of sort of issues that have happened that I've just sort of kept going. So I've got stuff in my hands that have limited me to not be able to do as much magic as I wanted to. But when you have the right sort of mental attitude and the right determination, I've just non-stop. You fight through the pain and it gets good. You then, when you get sort of an idea, like for me, it was Evaporate, and you meet amazing people, you level up the inspiration. And overall, it's when you don't think about the negativity and you just sort of look at what's the positive stuff that's happened, it's an amazing experience. And yeah, just don't let anything stop you. Just keep going.
That is absolutely perfect. The perfect answer. Never give up. Absolutely. Henry, thank you so much for coming on Talk Magic. I know, like, I woke you up way earlier than a teenager should be getting up. So I really appreciate you getting up early to do this interview. And yeah, look, you're going to continue to be successful. I know you are. But I want to now, I will say, for anybody watching this, you have a very active Instagram channel where you're constantly sharing your ideas, don't you? So if people want to follow you on Instagram, how do they do that?
It's Henry Magician 52 on Instagram. I do aim to just have magicians following, because I think I try to keep my pages just a place to show ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I just put random ideas, whether they're good or bad, I just post them on there. So I mean, for like layman and that, they probably wouldn't find it very, very awesome. I mean, there's a few really good stuff on there, and then there's a few average stuff. But if you're a magician and you sort of want to see some really cool stuff, yeah, just, it's a private account. If you're a magician, I'll accept you. If you're not, bye-bye.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So people can follow you if they're into magic, which they will be if they're watching this interview. They can follow you on Instagram, HenryMagician52.
Yeah.
So they can go check that out on Instagram. But yeah, look, here's what I want everyone to do that's watched this interview. Leave a comment down below. Let Henry know what you think. Bottom line is, this is a young 14-year-old man who has absolutely started to make a huge name for himself in the magic community. And if you haven't picked up Evaporate, you should go check it out, because it is absolutely brilliant. And I want people to leave a comment down below to let them know, let you know what you thought of the interview. And if they've got Evaporate, what they think of it. I know they're going to have loved it, because everybody does. And Henry, on behalf of the entire community that have watched this, thank you for coming on the channel. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Craig, for letting me do this interview. It really means a lot, and it's been amazing.
You're more than welcome. Guys, do me a favor, leave a comment down below, follow Henry on Instagram, and on behalf of Henry Ferris, thank you for joining me right here on Talk Magic this week. I'll be back again next Saturday with another Talk Magic. I'll be back on Sunday with a Q&A and a review show special. But I will see you again. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Craig, this is Henry, and this was Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.